Amen. He who is worthy, thought I was worth it. That's quite a thought. And we should not take that lightly. Because, my goodness, if it weren't for him, we'd be nothing. But he who was worthy knew I wasn't worthy, but still thought it was worth it. I'll invite you to turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. I've often said Colossians is probably my favorite book in the Bible. And one of the reasons why is it is a very simple book in the Bible. And I like simple things because, yeah, you probably guessed it, I can understand simple things. Colossians really lays out, like much of Paul's epistles, our place before God, our position before him, and what our responsibility is. But each of us lives a life. I mean, we do. That's a simple thing. But I think we understand that. We each live a life. And one day, our life on this earth is going to come to an end. Some of us will be ready. Some of us won't be ready. Some have yet to trust Christ as your Savior eternally. In terms of eternally, they're not ready. They're not ready to face eternity. And there are some Christians that the thought of the Lord coming is fearful to them because they know, I'm not ready to meet him. I got to take care of this in my life, or I haven't done this yet. But the reality is, regrets or not, the Lord's coming. As the book of Colossians starts out, we see that there is a prayer from Paul for the people at the church at Colossae. And this prayer contains a challenge for us. A challenge that if we were to take that challenge to heart, we would ensure our preparation to be intact for that moment that, yes, we will meet Christ. This is not a new thought. It's not a new challenge. But this morning, we are going to take a few minutes to examine how this applies to each of us. So if you're in Colossians chapter 1, I'd appreciate if you stand in honor of reading the Word of God if you are able. But we will start at verse number 1, and we are going to read to verse 14. The scripture here says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to talk to you this morning about what, why, and how. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. And Lord, as we've looked to your word this morning, we'd ask that you'd bless it, speak to our hearts, and move amongst us as you desire. Lord, we'd ask that you'd minimize the distractions, and may our hearts continue to be focused on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Verse number 9, the Apostle Paul states, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it," speaking of their ministry, their love, their hope, their testimony, "because of that, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and our all wisdom and spiritual understanding." This prayer presents to us the challenge that I was speaking of. This prayer presents with us this thought that we should question. The question is presented. No, it's not a question. The intent is presented. We have a desire. Paul is praying that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual understanding. Paul had a desire for the church at Colossae. That desire, I would have you consider, should be our desire. What, as we read this passage of Scripture, what should the desire for our life be? Have you ever desired anything in your life? Most of us will say, yes, I've had many desires. The what is this: what should our desire be? What should our desire be? First of all, here, as he states here, "For this cause," in verse number 9, "we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will." The first desire that we should have to answer this, what should our desire be? The first is to be filled with the knowledge of his will. To be filled with his knowledge. Now, I understand in life, as we go about our day, we have information overload, don't we? There is so much news. There's so much information. There's so much going on. And no matter where we turn, there's always something new that just comes into our mind. And if it's something you know, it's knowledge. If it's something you know, it is knowledge. But the Lord here inspired Paul to present us with this thought that we should desire to be filled with the knowledge of his will. Now, what is this about? I mean, how do we be filled with knowledge about his will? Well, first of all, we've got to understand, what is God's will? What is this about God's will? We've heard of God's will most of our whole lives. Most of us understand this. I mean, is God's will that we should do this or this? But I'm not trying to make light of this. But we have to understand, there is God's will for us. And we need to fill our mind, our awareness, with knowledge of what does God have for me. And when we talk about God's will, we tend and usually talk about, there's two areas of God's will, and Pastor's gone through this repeatedly since I've been back, but there's his general will and there's his specific will. But we must fill ourselves with the knowledge of his will. If I am going to do God's will in my life, I need to separate myself from this concept of his will as something that I have to accomplish for me and I have to figure out what it is. And we have to take a step back sometimes and wait. His will is simply what God desires to happen. God desires things to happen in my life, in your life. Just in many of these are the same things that he just wants to happen. God has a very general will that he's put out there, and that he just desires people to understand what his will is, or his heart on a matter is, because it's what he wants. And if I'm going to be filled with what that knowledge is, I have to understand what is the source of this knowledge, so that I might ingest it into my life, so that I can be filled with it. So we got to go to the Word of God, and we got to dig into the Scriptures, and we got to look and say, hey, what is God's will? And then we can just pull a few things out of the Bible and say, hey, I know this is God's will. God desires that all might be saved. He said he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants the salvation for everyone. That's his will. That's his desire. That's what he greatly desires. It's not just some sort of good saying that, hey, this will touch their heart, so I'm just going to throw this in there, this phrase in there. I'm thinking like, oh, God's so great. Well, yes, he is great. But no, that is his burden. That is why Jesus Christ came down and died on the cross. Because he thought it was worth it. It's his desire that all might come to repentance. So if you're here this morning and you've never come to the point when you realize that you are a sinner before a righteous and a holy God, and according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death or eternal separation from God, you got to understand that it's his will that you turn from that path of destruction and say, all right, well, if I'm lost, and if I'm bound to be separated forever from God and spend an eternity in hell, and there's nothing that I can do it on my own, I am not worthy. Well, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever will. It's his desire that all might come to repentance. And if you've not come to repentance, I encourage you. Follow his will on that matter. We know it's his will for all to come to repentance, but it's also his will for Christians to have a relationship with him. He wants Christians to walk with him. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, God is light. He walks in the light. And he desires that we walk in the light. Because he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. I gotta say, one of my favorite heroes is Moses. Yeah. Some of y'all young people, they like Captain America or all these sort of people. But I like Moses because when Moses was 120 years old, his natural force hadn't abated and his eyes had not dimmed. That means at 120 years old, he was as strong as he was when he was 40. That's one of my heroes. But Moses had a testimony. Moses had a testimony. And this is an important thing. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, the Lord spake to Moses face to face as a man speaketh to his friend. Oh, let me break down and cry here. God wants to speak to us face to face. That's his will for all of us. It's his desire. He just wants to have communication with us. He just wants to talk to us. Do we have that knowledge in our head? Are we thinking of that? Allowing that truth to be a part of our everyday life, right? It's just what he desires. I remember one time, my dad came in. Long story, so I'll make it short. Because if you do this, I'll do this. He wanted to do this because it would be fun. But before we did this, he said, let's take care of this first. I let the whole day go by, and I didn't take care of that. I lost out on something, yes. But it was my dad that desired to do something with me. And because I neglected. How many times do we neglect God and his desire for us? This is why this is an earnest prayer in Paul's life and in his ministry, because he knows he's not talking to people he doesn't know. He probably started this church at Colossae. He's not talking to just a bunch of Christians that every once in a while come into church. He's talking to the people that have a testimony that he's heard of repeatedly, and because of that, he's like, just be filled with the knowledge of his will. What should our desire be? To be filled with the knowledge of His will? And it says, and wisdom and spiritual understanding. So listen, there's three things, and I'm trying to go quickly here because this whole passage of Scripture just ties into a lot of things that are real important for us. But He wants us to have the knowledge, but part of that prayer is not just the knowledge, but He says wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, in our churches today, I got to be honest with you, and in my life, from time to time, I'm real good at the knowledge thing. I mean, I'm awesome. I got it so good my head gets this big. Knowledge isn't everything, is it? In fact, has anybody here ever worked a job in your life before? Wow, that's a lot fewer hands than I expected. When I go work a job, I don't know how to do the job the first day. In fact, there's usually orientation, depending on what kind of job you have, orientation, and they tell you this is the do's and don'ts of the job, these are some of the safety things you need to take care of, these are important rules you need to pay attention to, and by the way, this is your employee handbook, read it and sign it to say that you... But then, when I started working at Hobby Lobby there when I went to Oklahoma for school, they spent a week with you just with a trainer that showed you the processes of everything that you were supposed to do. And they did that for a week. That was a lot of knowledge. And some people check out puffed up with that knowledge. I'm like, well, you don't even know what you're doing yet. But when we take that step from knowledge to utilizing it, we understand that, hey, this is what that instruction has me do. The exercise of instruction brings what we call wisdom. Wisdom. Now, after you start working a job and you've been doing it for a little bit while, you start learning that there's some easier ways to do what you were doing. And you start learning also that when they told us not to do this, and I did it anyway, I found out why we don't do that. That's what we call wisdom. Because you start exercising the instruction given, and further than just being head knowledge, you know that, hey, if I follow this through, this is what happens. Remember when Peter walked on the water? This is one of my favorite examples, and I use it for everything. I actually cut it out of this message because I use it for everything, but perfect time for it. He received instruction from Christ to step out onto the water. He had that knowledge. Okay, He said, do it. According to the word of the Lord, he took a step of obedience in the instruction that God had given him. And as he was walking on that water, for a brief moment, he had the wisdom of knowing, when I obey God, God does great things. And for some of us that just don't get it, he put in the book of James. Is there a coincidence that we have someone here named James? No, he's not up here. No. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Because God giveth to all men. Just a little bit, you know. You need a little bit, you don't quite understand how to do it. This is just enough to get... No, liberally. Listen, stop for a second. How many bad decisions do we make and we see made? Almost on a daily basis, because people just don't have the wisdom to make the decision. And that's happening because we are simply not asking Him. Listen, this is just a part of His general will for us. If God were to set a bar and say, hey, this is where I want Christians to be, we're talking about that level stuff right now. We're not talking about, whoa. No, we're talking about, hey, this is what God just wants for us. If you don't know how to do something, ask Him. Pray. Talk to Him. I hate to use my girls for an illustration. Sorry, no, I was just kidding. I love it. I've got this one little girl. She's so passionate, so intense. But for some reason, We can't get her to understand, unbutton your dress before you put it on. And she fights. And she struggles. And it's like, hey, watch this. Now try. We fight. And we struggle. And he just wants us, ask. You don't have much wisdom in your life? Well, have you tried asking God about it lately? We could try. This is just his general will. This general will is for salvation, for a relationship, and for service. He just wants us to serve him, too. He just wants us to say, hey, you know, there was a time in my life that I realized that I was a sinner, and I was without God, without hope, and I was destined to spend an eternity in the lake of fire without God in judgment for my sin. But Jesus Christ died for me. And I turned to him, and I repented of my sin, and now I'm on my way to heaven, and I want the same for your life. Service. Testify to others of what he did for you. No, we don't have to all be preachers. We don't all have to be Sunday school teachers. And I'm grateful we don't all have to be nursery workers. But we should all be a testifier. We should all share a testimony. We should all live a life that represents him for who he is, not us for who we are. Because we're not worthy, he is. He just wants us to serve him. In fact, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you're saved, you are created to be a servant. There is the desire that we be filled with the knowledge of his will, and we understand there's a general will, but there's also a specific will. And I believe God does have plans for each of us. If you look at Hebrews, he is the author and the finisher of our course. God has authored a course for your life, like he's authored one for my life, and he started it and he finished it. It's got a plan and it's got a purpose. I believe the specific will for each of our lives is to follow the plan that God gave for us specifically. Now, we're not going to know that unless we've got the general will down. We're not. Because unless we have a relationship with God and we're walking with him, we're not going to be in his presence where he wants us to be so that we could hear his voice. But he wants us to be filled with this knowledge in our life. To filled with the knowledge of it. And he wants us to be filled with wisdom. So that's just, we could put it this way. That's just us exercising the knowledge he gives us on a level to where we, that's what he wanted. When I went to Oklahoma, I thought it was just to go, you know, finish some Bible training. You know, go to Bible college, get my little 4-year degree and pat myself on the back like I did it. And then it was like every so often I'd be like, whoa, this is why God brought me here? Whoa. That's why I'm here. And every step of the way, it's just like, boy, God's sure doing something. And I got to see it because I said, yes, God, I'll go.
That's good. Amen.
And I got to get to that position in my life where I said, yes, God, I'll go, because I was walking with him. And I was talking with him. And he said, you like your life here, don't you? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. I don't like it. You don't like this? No, I don't like it. Let's do something else. I'm grateful I did something else. I wish you people would just listen faster. He wants us to be filled with this knowledge. He wants us to be filled with the understanding. This is all the what are we talking about still here. He also wants us to, it says knowledge, it says wisdom, and it says understanding. I'll put it this way, and I'll try to be brief so we can continue moving on. But Knowledge is like the what. Wisdom is like the how. And understanding is like the why. Why do we do what we do? Why is this important? I used to sit there wondering, these kids in junior church, I'm trying to teach and preach this truth to them, and I had all this knowledge I was trying to give to them, because this is what the Bible says, do it, this is what the Bible says. And then I had to ask the question, why is this important to them? Because if you don't do what the Bible says, you'll ruin your life. That's why it's important for us. If we don't do what the Bible says, we ruin our lives. Think of certain captain of the host of the Syrian army, mighty man of valor. Everything was going for him. Everything. I mean, this guy was at the prime of his career, great military leader. Everything is great. But he had leprosy. And make that nice, wonderful long story short, the man of God said, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times. Well, why should I do that? It's not even as clean as this one, which is closer. Well, why? Because that's what God said. And when we go through hope, the first Bible truth is only God knows how to make life work. Only He knows how to make my life work. You wonder why you should follow God's instruction? Because only He knows how to make it work. For your life or for my life? This is the, what are we talking about? What should our desire be? Our desire should be, you need to be filled with His wisdom, with His knowledge, with His understanding. That's what your desire should be. Okay, that's the why. We got it down. No. That's the what. We got it down. We understand what our desire should be. Well, what's next? Why is this desire important? Listen, if you don't have that desire, carefully listen. If we do not have the desire to be filled with His knowledge and with His wisdom and with His understanding, we're going to miss something in our life. We are going to miss this. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Our desire should be to be filled with His knowledge, so that in turn we would obtain what is necessary, the instruction, the wisdom, and the understanding, to be worthy of Him. The Christians were called Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they reflected Jesus Christ in their life. They were filled with His wisdom, filled with His knowledge, filled with His understanding, and they acted on it. Do we have that kind of reflection in our life? Why is this desire important? That we might walk worthy of the Lord. This is talking about having a good character, pleasing to all. Christians, by the way, Christians do not need to be a rowdy group of annoying people that are just holier than thou art. We don't need to be. But nowadays, we've got two types of Christians. Well, we do have more than that. We've got a spectrum of Christians. But generally speaking, all across the board, we've got those Christians that know the scripture and don't know anything about it. And then we've got those that know what the scripture kind of says, but don't care. When I worked at the mall, a horrible chapter of my life. Don't recommend anybody even going to the mall, but working at the mall, I had to wash some of that bad taste out of my mouth. And I was working one night, and I was trying to clean food court. why bother? But yeah, I was trying. And this group of teenagers just came running through, knocking people over, knocking stuff over. And I was like, what are these people doing? And then I noticed another group of people came in. And one of the fellas looked quite respectable. He walked over and says, okay, just so you know, I've got a group of kids here from my church youth group, and we came here to do something, and we noticed somebody else is doing the same thing, and I just wanted you to know we're not associated with that church youth group. I saw the whole spectrum there. This church youth group just came in, literally, and I mean literally, knocking people over. This is... who are you representing? Sometimes we knock people over by our attitudes. Oh, you think you're having a bad day? Well, mine's worse, and ha! There, beat that. Let me be a negative over here. No, wrong. No. Yes. Hey, how's your character? Are you walking worthy? Are you pleasing unto all? Now, I will offend people. Some of us are better at that than others. Truth is offensive. But that doesn't mean I need to be. I'm really good at it too, though. It's my gift. But we don't need to be. If I want to confront somebody about their sin, fine. But maybe I should just let the Word of God do the talking. Yeah, that's good. I've had fun times in the past trying to talk to certain people about certain things. And I've learned sometimes it's best not to get all philosophical on them and speak my own mind, because Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power of God. And if I'm doing the talking, because I'm talking what I want to talk about, how I want to say it and all, the Word of God is actually sharper and quicker, and it pierces right to where I can't get to. I'm really good at hardening people's hearts, but that scripture... it really tells the truth. I really enjoyed door knocking when I was 15, when I was 16, because I felt like I had a license to talk to anybody. Now I have to be more careful when I'm talking to kids. I don't know, it's just the way it is. But when I was a teenager, it was fun. I knocked on this one door and a teenager opened it. I'm like, perfect. And I talk to him and he goes, oh, we go to the Jehovah Witness Church over there. And I'm like, Isaiah this and Isaiah that. I'm starting to quote all these verses about this. I am the Lord God. There's no other God beside me. I am the Holy One of Israel. I am the Redeemer. There is no one before me, after me. And I hear in the back, shut that door. Well, let the Word of God do the talking. I didn't have 5 minutes to talk to that person, but that 5 minutes I used, this is one of the better times. I mean, I've wasted too many times talking to people without using the Word of God, but that time was like, just use the scripture. At least I gave him something. I gave him some truth. I want to be worthy of him. I'm never going to be, but I want to be. I want my character to reflect him. I want my actions to reflect him. I want my manner of speech, and I want to have compassion for others. Hey, you, what are we talking? I want to make a difference. Right. He made a difference. Right. He thought I was worth it, and he made a difference in my life. Am I making a difference in somebody else? That's part of walking worthy of his name. Are we pointing people to the Lord? We might walk worthy, but also in verse number 10, that we might be fruitful. That we might be fruitful. We're not going to go there, but Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 is the picture of what a Christian's life is supposed to be. Planted by rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in this season, not withering. replicating, reproducing. That's the desire God has for the Christian. And if we're not filled with His knowledge, if we're not filled with His understanding, we are not going to have the spiritual nutrients necessary to reproduce Christ in others. What kind of attributes, qualities are we reproducing in other people's lives? It's not all about just leading people to Christ. It's also about provoking one another to love and good works. About having that kind of fruit in our life to where we have the fruit of the Spirit. And to where our influence on other people puts them, or drives them, draws them, pushes them closer to God. If your character is not lifting people to God, we got some serious examination to do. What kind of knowledge are you putting in your head? What kind of wisdom are you exercising? What's your process of understanding what God has for you? What you doing? He's got something for us. He desires, His desire is that we would be filled. But we have to get down to this. We've talked about the what. What should the desire be? We've talked about why should I have this desire. But thirdly, and possibly crucially, how do I make this desire real in my life? How do I make this desire real? Thank you for asking the question. If somebody asked it sooner, we could have gotten there faster. Verse number 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. To make that desire real in our life, first we have to recognize God for who He is. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David came back and found that his town had been sacked and everybody was carried away and all that stuff. And it was a real low moment in his life. And those around him were thinking of stoning him. But what David did was got down and he sought God. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what he did? He's like, okay, I know who God is. I'm going to Him. You know, the first step of any endeavor in our life is just go to God. Just go to Him. Recognize you're worthy. I'm not. I'll make a mess of things, but you never do. How? What do I need to do? You're so good. You're so great. You're so far above my ways. Your thoughts are above my heights. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your ways than my ways. You're good. You're great. We need to recognize there's something about God that demands that we bow our knee and say, okay, I'll seek your face. We've got to recognize Him for who He is. The second thing that it mentions there is giving thanks always. And it lists, and it begins to list what God did for us. We need to recognize Him, and we need to remember what He's done for us. Those two things are important because it is recognizing Him for who He is and recognizing me for who I am. And I need to start thanking Him. Listen, the times I feel closer to God are the times when I am just being thankful. Lord, thank you for the salvation that you oh so freely gave me at such an expense to you. And I'm thanking Him for His leading and directing my life despite me not being worthy. Thanks for that song. That was a good truth there. despite me not being worthy. And he just wants me to be filled with his knowledge, to make my desire, to make his desire my desire. And that moment that God, I don't know everything about you, but you're worthy. You're worthy of my praise. You're worthy of my devotion. You are worthy of my time, of my talent, of my treasure. Lord, you are so worthy, I ought not hold anything back from you. And when we have that mindset and that attitude, that, my friends, is when we can be filled with his knowledge. When we can be filled with his wisdom. And we can be filled with spiritual understanding. And then we can understand that, hey, he's supposed to order and direct my steps, not me. Hey. And we can just say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Because I could hold on to it myself if I want. But you leave me to myself, I will prove how many ways a man can ruin his life. And you can too. But he knows how to make it work. And he's got the wisdom, and he's got the knowledge, and he's got the understanding. And the truth is, he gave it all to us. And he says, if you just trust me, I'll lead you. Who's leading your life today? Are you filled with knowledge, with understanding? Do you know his will for your life? Are you in his will? If you're not, what do we need to do? We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.